Mighty. We're continuing our series on the will of God, although I want to deviate just a touch from what we've been talking about. Sometimes you hear something and it just resonates so powerfully that you just kind of want to dip in and kind of go over that too, in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. I want to just kind of go a little bit from off script a little bit and talk about, I've titled it, shall suffer persecution, ... shall suffer persecution. The King James rendering is, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so I just, kind of went with the end of that, shall suffer persecution, they who live godly in Christ Jesus. It's important to understand that those of us who live godly in Christ Jesus, we are going to suffer persecution. This kind of fit in with what we're talking. This was before I knew that. So we've talked about this. I mean, it's not anything new, but just a word of encouragement. I believe the Lord wants to do, just want to encourage his people. And I think I want to start by going to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, let's go to Hebrews. Yeah, Hebrews 11. Yes, Hebrews 11. Make it verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Amen. I'm so grateful and so thankful beyond words that these lessons and sermons that are being taught are powered by the Holy Ghost and not relying upon me and my, you know, natural wisdom and earthly skill. Thank God it had nothing to do with that. It's the Holy Spirit, and I'm so glad. I'm just thankful for that extra. Verse 13, Hebrews 11. It said, these all died in faith, talking about men and women of faith in the first 12 verses, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Strangers and exiles. Strangers and exiles. Lord, let those two words hit us in our hearts. We taught on developing an alien mentality. Amen. Mm-hmm. This is more of that. Strangers, meaning that we're outsiders. We're just visitors. Outsiders. Visitors. And we're exiles. We are unfamiliar people. That's why when you speak to those who are unsaved, sometimes those are saved too, the truth of God's word, you sound strange. You sound foreign. You sound unfamiliar. That's who we are. Lord, help us to get that. This is not our home. This is not our home. I think it's safe to say we still get caught up too much in the things of this world. Instead of treating it as, I'm just passing through. Mm-hmm. I'm just passing. I'm a sojourner. It's another word. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We are exiles. We are strangers. We are foreigners. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 1. 1 Peter 1, 1. Everyone has it? Okay, let me. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to wait a minute. Yeah. 1 Peter 1, 1. And it reads, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are, okay, there's an adjective in front of exiles. We are, who are elect exiles. So that brings in his sovereign election, sovereign unconditional election. But he calls us exiles again, but we're elect exiles. Of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and so forth. Skip down to chapter 2 and look at verse 11. Chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Next chapter over. He says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles. So he uses, he adds the word sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. And of course, you know, one other place we're called alien, exiles, foreigners, strangers. Lord, help us to get this. Now, there's a fine line as you begin to really walk in this, where you almost say, well, forget what's going on in this world. They just pass it through. That's just them. No, you gotta, you know, that's when you gotta still hear Holy Spirit, because we're here for a purpose. We're here to glorify his name. It's not as ties back into Sunday and the holiness series. We're here to reflect the glory of God, to reflect his excellencies, his love, his peace, his joy, his patience, his perseverance, his grace, his mercy. Are we not called on daily to be gracious and merciful with folks as he is with us constantly, daily? Are we called on to exhibit his passion and compassion toward those who are without? To live honorably, people of integrity? That's why we're here. But notice, it's not necessarily per se so much of an activist role as it is pacifist, meaning that we're to live, and as we live godly in Christ Jesus, folks are being affected. Does that make sense? As you're living, the act of peace that you're doing is living godly. And in so doing, God puts people around that sees that lifestyle. And he can use that lifestyle to bring them in. That's our role. And I go back to you, Alpha Lord Jr. As your mother gave her testimony yet again to me,
the day of her sister's death. That was her sister. She said she saw her son's lifestyle change. Paraphrase. That's right. That's a glory be to God. She saw her son. And she said, you know, fella just don't go up behind folks. He just doesn't do that. And in fact, about this face to say almost everybody in here really is not, just ain't gonna just follow up behind people. So God has, I better be walking with the Lord, because God is the one that pricks a heart and says, come on and follow me. Not me, but God through me. Amen. See, so the reason that we just can't say, well, I'm just passing through, I don't care what happened, that's not necessarily the right attitude per se. The attitude is, you know, let me stay locked into what I need to do. That's the attitude. Because I got my assignment from the JAG, the Judge Advocate General, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got my assignment from the general. And what I am to do is to live a life that projects the holiness of God throughout this world. Man, that's good news. That's good news. The problem with the Christians is we're trying to make this world a better place. That's not our job. That's not what he's called us to do. That's why I open this up by saying, no, we're just passing through. And our master tells us how we're to bide our time while passing through. Amen. Live holy. Now, does that not simplify? We got to go to the protest, and then if you do that, go right on. But this makes you living holy. The problem is we doing all the other stuff, trying to get all these programs and things of that nature and social justice stuff, and we're not living holy before a watching world, and they are watching. In 68, maybe 69, there was the Democratic Convention, 68 Democratic Convention in Chicago. And a bunch of radicals and folks, you know, of a rainbow coalition wanted to go in and protest. And it turned ugly and folks got killed and so forth. And they began chanting, the whole world's watching. The whole world's watching. We need to keep that chant inside our head. The whole world's watching. Everywhere you go, somebody is watching. Amen. But more importantly, God is watching. And him we are to please. So just a reminder, we are, first and foremost, we are strangers, sojourners, and exiles. I want to kind of do a semi-quote. I kind of paraphrase it somewhat, but the gist of this, of these next few lines come from Dr. Vodi Bakum concerning this. We really don't understand this fact that we are exiles and strangers because of our history and our heritage as Americans. That's what blocks it. If we were in a third world country where there's persecution, they're killing, because they're killing Christians. We have no idea the murder of Christians that's happening on a daily basis throughout other parts of the world. So we think, well, I don't know nothing about it. But our heritage as Americans, it clouds the fact that we are exiles, because we like here. We get comfortable here. You got houses and cars
cars, some of us houses. You know, we can just come in and have praise and worship like we just did, not worrying about militia, folks tearing down the door, shooting the pastor on spot on site, or arresting him and killing everybody else in the church, and then burning the house of the church. There's no threat of that. So I that's a great opening line. We tend to not really understand when somebody breaks, when the preacher breaks in and says, hey, we're aliens, we're foreigners, we're strangers. Whether you're black, want to go back to Africa, or the Arabs trying to take over, the, you know, the fighting the Jews, wanted to say that Jerusalem is their hookup. All this down here. No, we're passing through. Our focus is honoring God in everything we think, speak, and do. That's the focus, but that focus is hard to maintain because of our heritage as Americans. Next, he says, praise God for this absolute blip on the historical screen. What is that blip? Where Christians have been in the majority. Where Christians have seen their culture and ideals flourish. Listen to the next line. But, comma, that's not the rest of the world. And when I heard that, I'm like, you know what? We think this is the norm. I said, you know what? I thank you, Lord, for telling me, and so let us dwell on this. This is not the norm. This is an aberration. We think this is it because this is all we know. And yet I've read the Bible all these years. He said, that's not the history of the church. That's not reality. That's not what we ought to be used to. We do not belong here. This is not as good as it gets. Thank you, Lord. This is not your best life now. And you know there are people preaching that. And you know there are ministries that are telling millions this is basically all there is. They're not saying that. They talk about heaven sort of peripherally. But the core is get your stuff now, pray for that car, and this and that and the other, not realizing, no, we don't belong here. We just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is not the norm. This is not the history of the church. This is not the history of Christians. I dare you to go and read the Fox Book of Martyrs. Fox Book of Martyrs. That book is no joke. The way that Christians have been killed, there's a book of many, 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 many Christians who've been dismembered, burned, tortured, all for the sake of the Lord. He goes on to say, we're not seeing terrible things in our culture because we vote the wrong way. That's not why. We're seeing terrible things in our culture because men love darkness rather than light. Let's tell it like it is. Not because we got the wrong guy. It doesn't make a difference who is up in there. They're not Jesus. It's not designed to bring about peace. No matter who's in there. Democrat, Republican, third party, black man, white man, beggar man, thief. Doesn't make a difference. It's because of John 3 and about verse 17 and 18. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They don't want the light to shine on. Mankind are like roaches. Strong statement. The center especially. You shine the light on them, they scatter. Don't want to be seen. They love. When they scatter, where are they scattering? Into the darkness. Men love dark. What is darkness? Evil, wickedness, sin. They love it. That's why things are this way. Are you serious? Somebody didn't vote right. He said, we're not seeing terrible things in our culture because the church is not being the church. He said, the church is always the church. Because the church isn't being the church, men love darkness. Sin is here. That's why. He said, one of the problems is that there's a lot out there that passes for the church that is not the church. That's the problem. There are many churches out there trying to do programs and things. Trying to get this, oh, I got an idea. Let's do this, let's do that. Trying to reach the culture. Trying to make inroads into the culture. That's not written in scripture. That's not godly. That's not what God told us to do. He told Timothy, preach the word. These things concerning the word, teach and exhort. Not how to put organized protests and how to put together placards and go bug your congressman or congresswoman. And they're doing all of those things for this at the cost of teaching the word of God, meditating that word. If you're doing all of that, then you're not meditating the word. When are you going to have time? Because you're so busy trying to strategize politically and culturally how to do this and that and the other, trying to make a change down here. And by the way, all that is done in the name of trying to make a change down here. Yeah, there's a lot out. He got that right. There's a lot out there. One of the problems is that there's a lot out there that passes for the church. This is godly. This is God. This is the church. Because it got a name, a church name behind what you're doing doesn't mean that it's godly. Some people believe that if the church was what it's supposed to be, then we wouldn't experience these bad legal decisions or persecutions come, etc. That's not the case. Keep remembering, men love darkness rather than light. Through one man, sin entered the world. When I say some people, I'm talking about Christians, so-called Christians. When I say they, Christians, believe, some do, that the church needs to vote right and live right, etc. Then we can usher in this wonderful kingdom called America. No, America is not the church. Some say America is a city set on a hill. No, the church is a city set on a hill. Let your light, not America's light, let your light so shine. You're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. To think that way is not biblical. That is not our lot. That is not our calling. In reality, we, the church, belong to the one whom this world crucified. We belong to the one whom this world hates. How are you going to try to cozy up and change something that hates us? The world crucified our Lord. We belong to the one who exposes this world's sin. And as a direct result of it, they want to kill not only him, but all those who belong to him. That's the world we live in. That's the reality of it. End quote from Bodie Bachum on that part. Yeah, we belong to the one who the world has crucified. That's who we belong to. We belong to the one that the world hates. Jesus said, the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. The very culture you're trying to win in and really they're seeking. That's the, there's a culture that hates you and killed our Lord. My. You know why they hate him? Because he exposes this world's sin. And as a direct result, not only do they want to kill him, they want to kill us. And they do kill us, just not in America. We belong, he goes on to say, we belong to the one who overcame the world. Hallelujah. Not became a part of it. We belong to the one who says that if we overcome, there is waiting for us a crown of life by overcoming the world. What is the history of the world, of the church then? You say, well, if America, what we're experiencing here is an aberration, and then what was the history? You already know it, but let's just go back over it. Look at Hebrews chapter 32. 11, chapter 11, rather, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. We'll go over these and we'll close. Someone once asked, will you risk your life to be faithful to God? Dr. Bauckham says, not a good question, because faithfulness to God is our life. Woo-hoo. Listen to that one again. Will you risk your life to be faithful to God? And he said, it's not a good question, because faithfulness to God is our life. We have, he goes on to say, we have no life apart from faithfulness to God. We have no life apart from that. Faithfulness to God is only a reflection of God's faithfulness to us. He's faithful to me. I want to be faithful to him. That is our life. Hebrews 11:32. Verse 32, and what shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets. So who is he talking about? The Old Testament saints. Is that fair to say? He's talking about those who through faith they did all this and the other. Go to verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Here we go. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two. Can you imagine being, wow. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves in the earth. That's the history of the Old Testament saints. We know this, but we just been in America, so we don't, with what I was back then, that ain't really, we tend to go that this is all that there is. That's not. I love how you use the word, this is a blip. This is the grace of God who allowed Christians to be in the majority. But that's an aberration. That is not the norm. You just read what's been happening, though. Not just a little bit. Think of all of them. Jeremiah, feces thrown at him. Prison, imprisoned. Isaiah killed. This is just all Old Testament. That's the history. A brief history. But the history. Persecutions all the way through. You know, even in the first six chapters of Daniel, you have Daniel with Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah. You know, Mr. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are their pagan names. But the given names were Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel. They refused to bow down. Right? You don't do it, we're going to throw you into the That's the culture. And let me tell you something else, my black people. The government been jacking up folks for millennia and millennia of years, for over 6,000 years. It's the government. The government killed Jesus. The government was going to burn up the three Hebrew boys. The government is one who threw Daniel into the lion's den in chapter 6. It's the government that saw the murder and the mistreatment of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel. It's the government that's doing all of this. That's the history of the church.
New Testament, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 10. Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12. That's Old Testament. New Testament. Blessed are those who persecute you. Who are you? Who are you? Who are the you?
Christians.
Yeah. Blessed are those who are persecuted, for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others will revile you, insult you, persecute you, trouble and harass you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. That's the history. You see that. You know these verses are here. Turn to the Gospel of John, please. Verse 18. Chapter 15, I'm sorry. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. The Gospel of John, this is a history. Wow, what an eye-opening statement that this is an aberration. This is not the norm. Verse 15 of the Gospel of John, verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, and it does, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Who's speaking? Jesus. If you were of the world would love you as its own. Why are you trying to become a owner of the world when they're going to hate you? Because you're not of them. Right? You are we opened up with stranger, exile, sojourner, pilgrim, and alien. You're outside. So if you were of the world would love you, love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute, trouble, harass you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. Do you see? That's the history. That's the norm. Never saw it in this light ever before. Just how super ridiculously blessed we were to be born at this time and live in this country. Because over in the Middle East and other parts, they're killing Christians, crucifying them still, beheading them, even now. But we have no idea because we're in such a comfy, cozy situation. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. ... shall suffer persecution if you live godly. Before I get started, quick note.
If the world is kind of digging on you and embracing you with all of their ideas that are ungodly and unholy, you really need to check your God walk, your holy walk. You really need to check that. Because something wrong. They should not be completely engulfed in there and immersed in holy, ungodly living, thinking, speaking, and doing, and they are embracing you. He says they're going to hate you because you are not of the world. So if the world is embracing you, something is wrong with the so-called Christian. Does that make sense? Verse 10, 2 Timothy 3. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Stop right there. Make it quick. That's why pastors are so powerful. Because you're to follow my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness. Well, I better have all of that for you to follow. This is Apostle Paul telling Timothy, but you have followed these things as I follow Christ. That's why we got to be on point. And I better not mess up. Period. Because people are following. He said, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The King James is the one I quoted at the beginning. They that the godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You will be persecuted. Persecuted. If you aren't persecuted, you probably are not living a godly life. Because he said, if you are, you will be. Not the there's a great chance it's going to happen. He said it will be. Will be. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. I don't care which I can tell you, it's going to get better, but it's not. Going from bad to worse. Deceiving and being deceived. Last verse, and we're done. 1 Peter chapter 2. You see why evil people and impossible go from bad to worse. And you can see that that window is closing in America very quickly. It's closing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. That window is closing. Because no longer do the Christians in the majority. Not anymore. Verse 19, 1 Peter 2, 19. For this is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Why? He said this is a gracious thing when mindful of God. When keeping it in that vernacular, keeping it in that mindset, when you endure sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? For if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. I butchered that. But to suffer unjustly because you're doing good is gracious in the sight of God. Verse 21. For to this you have been called. What is that? You've been called to what? Suffer while living a godly life. Isn't that something? That's a whole other teaching. You've been called to suffer. Like you've been called to the ministry. People say, or you've been called to do this or do that. We all have been called to suffer of some sort. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you might follow in his stead. He suffered, and we're supposed to follow that example of suffering. Well, how did he suffer? How did he act when he suffered? Good question. Glad you asked. Verse 22. He committed no sin. Start there. Neither was deceit, guile, trickery found in his mouth. When he was reviled and insulted, he did not return insult or revile. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. That's a hard statement, especially for black folk in America. But I went over that during the heat of the George Floyd thing last summer. Went over this exact thing. Suffering, and you suffer unjustly, verse 20 says, it is gracious in the sight of God. We're called to suffer. We're strangers. We're exiles. We elect exiles. We're foreigners. We're aliens to this world. Remember that, just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. Jesus is our president. Father God, help us to remember these truths. Help us to remember these truths and not get caught up so much into the things of this world that we're not a part of. Spiritually speaking, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We are in the world. We're not of it. Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. We must live a life of non-conformity. And yes, the hippies and the radicals and the white liberals and the black folks and everybody want to be non-conformist, but godly non-conformity, it's not to think, speak, and act as the world does. That's godly non-conformity. Yes, we ought to be non-conformists. That's how we live a holy life, because we've already been set apart unto you. And for that, we are forever grateful. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.